Regan, come on up, man.
Thank you, Rochelle. It's great to be in God's house, and it's a real joy and a privilege to share God's word here. But can I just pause and say, it's an even greater joy and a greater privilege in this house to be blessed by the leaders, the shepherds, and the pastors of this house. And I'd just like to say thank you to Pastor David, Pastor Rochelle, Pastor Bethwyn, for you have been a blessing to us and a real joy and a privilege. Your love is evident and is real. Your labor is bringing a great harvest. My wife and I, Prem and I, we run a connect group here at Real Life Church, and there are probably about 10 or so connect groups here at Real Life Church. And each connect group is distinctive. Each connect group has its own flavor, its own dynamics. Well, our connect group certainly has its flavor. We have great food in our connect group. But we have greater spiritual food. There's great discussions. There's great teaching. And we're also great with kids. We're in Brookdale, and so if you're in the surrounding suburbs, you're more than welcome to join us on a fortnight. But in our connect groups, we've been exploring some of the names of Jesus, looking at the Christ of Christmas. We're doing a series called The Advent, and we've been looking at Jesus' names. You know, names play a significant part in the Bible. Names of people, and even names of places, they often unlock a spiritual truth. But when we look at the names of Jesus, oh, that truth is ever more significant. It's truth that is powerful. It's truth that is transforming. Let's just pause and look at some of the names of Jesus in the Bible. He is called the I Am because he is the all-sufficient one. He is the eternal one. He's called the King of Kings because he is sovereign and he's on the throne. Yeah. He's called the vine because from him we bear all fruit and have a great harvest. He is called the Word because his word is truth and life. He's called the Lamb because he is the Lamb of God. The Lamb that was slain, but now that Lamb is the standing Lamb at the right hand of God. He's called the Messiah because he is the promised one and he's the Redeemer. He's called the Savior because he is the Deliverer and the Conqueror. He's called the Alpha and the Omega because he is the first and the last. He is the light of the world because he pierces darkness and he is the Son of Righteousness. He is called the Shepherd because he cares for his sheep. He is called the bread because he nourishes and sustains us. He is called the living water because he washes us, refreshes us, and revives us. He is Emmanuel, for he is God with us. He is the man of sorrow, for he endured pain and suffering like no one did. He is the Christ because he is Jesus. He is the bridegroom coming to redeem his bride. He is the cornerstone and we are the living stones. He is the mediator, the way and the bridge between God and man. He is the carpenter because that was his vocation. He is the guide that illuminates and directs us. He is the child, God born into humanity. He is Jesus, Pastor David, for he has no rival and he has no equal. Well, this morning, we're going to explore one of those names of Jesus. We're going to look at him from Isaiah. For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This morning, we're going to look at three characteristics of the Wonderful Counselor. Let's pray. Lord, we just come into your presence. We ask, Father, that your presence would flood this room. We pray that your spirit would flood the hearts and minds of the people here. We pray your spirit would go over the internet and flood every hearer online. And Father, we invite you. And we pray, Father, that you will reveal and uncover to us not only Jesus, but you will uncover to us Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor. Lord, we just commit and entrust this time into your hands. Cleanse me, wash me, And Father, may your word go forth and bring healing in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and I didn't know it was missions, but in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus issues out a mandate. In fact, it's a mandatory mandate. And we all love mandatory mandates now, don't we? It's a mandate that is not based on medical experts. It's a mandate that's not based on science, but it's a mandate that hangs on the wonderful name of the wonderful counselor. Jesus says, "All authority is given unto me. Now go and make disciples." And on this basis, on this platform, he says, go and make disciples. You know, the first characteristic that I'd like us to look at this morning is that the wonderful counselor is one who has authority. In fact, he has all authority. It's interesting that Jesus' first words to his disciples was, "Come, follow me." And his last words are, "Go and make disciples." The wonderful counselor is one who has all authority. I'd like to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. I may have it on a slide there. God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, not only in this age, but in the age to come. The wonderful counselor not only has all authority, this is an interesting passage, he has authority that is above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. What does this mean? The wonderful counselor, I look at it as this way, he is the father of all authority. He gives all authority. He not only has all authority, but he's the father and the very source of all authority. Why does the wonderful counselor and how does he possess all this authority? There's another passage, it's a bit lengthy, but it illustrates and demonstrates 5 points of why the wonderful counselor has all authority. It's from Colossians. Number one, the wonderful counselor, bear with me, has all authority because he created all things. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. The wonderful counselor has all authority because he created all things, including authority itself. Not only did he create all things, but number two, he holds all things. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Why does he have such authority? Because he created all things. Because he holds all things. And thirdly, because all things were created for his glory. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And then listen, that in everything he might be preeminent. That all things were created for his glory. Number four, he redeems all things. He redeems all things through him to reconcile to himself all things. Why does the wonderful counselor have such authority? He created all things. He holds all things. All things were created for his glory. He redeems all things. And lastly, in him is all of God. Okay, Regan, the wonderful counselor has all authority. That's great. But what does that mean for me? That's an even greater question. That's a wonderful question. The wonderful counselor has all his authority. Good on the wonderful counselor. But what does that mean to me? You know, the wonderful counselor not only holds all authority, but listen, he wants to invest. We talked about investing in God's kingdom. God now wants to invest in us. He wants to invest, pour out, channel, direct, funnel his authority in your life. The wonderful counselor wants to invest and pour out authority in your life. If you go back to the very first page in your Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we read that God created man in his image. And he created him, and he invested, he poured out, he channeled, he directed, and he funneled authority in him to have authority, power, and dominion over all creation. The wonderful counselor is one who has all authority. The wonderful counselor is one who is above all authority. And the wonderful counselor wants to pour out authority in your life. Well, here's another wonderful question. What is authority? I'd like to suggest to you, authority is not power and position in itself. Authority is not power and position in itself, but authority is the power and the position to execute leadership. Leadership, what is leadership? Leadership is the power and position to influence, to impact, and to transform lives. The wonderful counselor wants to influence, inspire, and impact and transform lives. And when the wonderful counselor said, go and make disciples, he wanted you to go to influence, to inspire, to impact, and to transform lives. The wonderful counselor is one who has all authority. But the wonderful counselor is not only one who has all authority, but he's one who wants to, number two, intervene in your lives. He wants to intervene in your lives. Can I have, a little assistant here this morning. Can my assistant come up? Come up here, darling. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, that statement, the government is upon his shoulder. Let's hope I don't fall off. Is true at a macro level, at a global level. Countries, nations, continents, the world, Australia is on his shoulder. It's true at a macro level, but it's true also at an individual level. Little Kayla is on his shoulder. I am on his shoulder. Pastor Bethwyn, I don't know whether you've ever been on Rod's shoulder. But this morning, you are on the wonderful counselor's shoulder. It's true at a macro level. It's true at a micro individual level. You see, the wonderful counselor died for the sins of the world, but he especially died for you. He especially died for you. Thank you. You can come off, darling. Sorry. Okay, a bit scruffy. Okay. The wonderful counselor, Jesus, you know, when he pulled up Peter and he said, Peter, you are this rock, and on this rock I will build my church. Just a confession, I've sometimes struggled with that passage. Peter, there's someone in my connect group. Are you here, Brother Hans? He often uses the word far out. I feel like saying far out. We're building the church on Jesus, on Peter. Peter who denied Jesus. But you know what? The wonderful counselor believes in the power of one. He believes in the power of one. And he said, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. Jesus is the foundation, but Peter is going to be a rock. And you know what? The wonderful counselor wants to intervene in your life. He calls out to you by name, and he wants you to be a rock of your own, and he wants to use you to build his kingdom. The wonderful counselor wants to intervene by being involved in your world, but he also wants to indwell in your heart. The word indwell carries the idea that the wonderful counselor wants to reside, take root, make a home in your heart. You see, the wonderful counselor doesn't just want to be a stranger in your heart. He doesn't want to be a guest in your heart, though guests are good. He wants to be a resident in your heart. In fact, he wants to be more than a resident. He wants to be a resident king in your heart. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus in a manger. Yes, but Christmas builds on that and goes beyond. Christmas is about the birth of the wonderful counselor in your heart. Christmas is about the birth of the wonderful counselor in your heart. The wonderful counselor wants to indwell in your heart as resident king. And he wants all of your heart. You know, we sometimes allow Jesus into our lives, but we have other areas in our life that we say are off limits to the wonderful counselor. Restricted access. But Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. The wonderful counselor says, give me all of your heart. He says, give me your fears, your anxiousness, and I will give you peace. Give me your brokenness, and I'll make you complete. Give me your burdens, and I will make them light. Give me your struggles, your shame, and your sin, and I will clothe you with righteousness, declare you holy, and I will sanctify you. The wonderful counselor wants to intervene in your life. He wants to influence you, inspire you, impact you, and transform your life. Will you allow him to be involved in your world? Will you be on his shoulders? Will you allow him to indwell in your heart? And he wants to intervene by instructing you as well. He wants you to be involved. He wants to indwell. And he wants to instruct. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. Samuel was a prophet. When he was a young boy, he was in the temple. God spoke to him. It took a while for him to realize it was God speaking. But then he said to God these wonderful words. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You know, it's great to talk to God, but it's even greater to hear from God. Amen. It's great to talk to God, but it really is. It's a joy, a delight to hear from him. We did a series called Whisper in our Connect group, all about Connect groups today. I don't know why. We did a series called Whisper. It was learning to tune down the noise of this world and to tune into God's frequency. Amen. It's so important to hear from God because the wonderful counselor has a plan for your lives. He says, go, but you need to hear his whisper. Hear his instructions so you know where you need to be. His plans are perfect. His plans are precise. And his plans for you are promising. In that series, we learned that God's primary language was his word, the word of God. Oh, his word has flavor. Better flavor than our Connect groups. His word is like milk that nourishes. Oh, his word is like meat that strengthens. Oh, his word is sweeter than honey. Oh, his word is like a hammer that destroys sin, bondage, and darkness. Oh, his word is like a hammer that also shapes and molds us and builds godliness. Oh, his word is like a sword that destroys sin, darkness, and overcomes temptation. Oh, his word spoke and spun the stars in the sky. Oh, his word created this world, galaxies and the Milky Way. Oh, his word created all things. This very same word that spoke the world into existence, this word is contained in the word of God. For the word of God is all scripture, given by inspiration of God. And his word is the very breath of God. You want to hear his whisper? I encourage you to go to his word. The wonderful counselor, he's one who has all authority. He's one who wants to intervene in our world. But thirdly, the wonderful counselor He wants to birth wonders in your life. The wonderful counselor wants to birth wonders in your life. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus in a manger. Christmas is about the birth of the wonderful counselor in your heart. And Christmas is about the birth of wonders in your life. You know, the wonderful counselor did many wonders when he was here on earth. What was the first miracle that Jesus did? Changing water into wine? Can I say you're unanimously wrong? The first wonder of the wonderful counselor was the day the wonderful counselor was conceived in Mary's womb, born of a virgin. That was the first wonder of the wonderful counselor. The wonderful counselor grew to be a boy, and one day he found himself in a temple, asking questions as a young boy, but speaking with authority. As a young boy, he spoke with authority. The wonderful counselor then continued to do, as a man, did many wonders. Yes, he turned water into wine. He even walked on water. The wonderful counselor healed the sick. He cleansed lepers. The blind could see, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk. The wonderful counselor fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves. But you know what? The greatest wonder of the wonderful counselor is that he died for your sins. Amen. The greatest wonder of the wonderful counselor is that he died for your sins. If you're listening to this message and you're like, I haven't experienced the wonderful counselor, I haven't had my sins washed away, why don't I encourage you? Jump out of your seats, raise your hands at the end of this session and say, I'd like to receive the gift of the wonderful counselor. His greatest gift is that he died on the cross for your sins. For the wages of sin is death. You see, he had no sin, but he died. He died for your sin. And he conquered death, for he rose again. And in conquering death, he conquered death, he conquered sin, and he conquered grave, so that you could have life and life evermore. You know, the greatest gift of the wonderful counselor is the gift of eternal life. But the second greatest gift of the wonderful counselor is that you might walk in authority, in accordance to the plans and purposes that he has for you. The second greatest gift is that you can walk in authority, in accordance with the plans and purposes that he has for you. You know the story of the prodigal son? The son, one of the sons, he says, Father, give me my portion. And the father gives him his portion. And we know the story. He goes away to a faraway country. He squanders his wealth. He does everything he's not supposed to. He does everything under the sun. And he realizes he's in a bad spot. He'd rather eat the pig's food. So he says, I'll go back and be a servant in my father's house. The wonderful counselor is like this father. He has a fatherly love. He sees the son from afar away. And when the prodigal son returns, He runs towards him. He embraces him. He kisses him. And he gives him 3 gifts. The first gift is a ring, a picture of authority and royalty. He gives him new garments, a picture of righteousness, sanctification, and made holy. And then he gives him sandals, a picture of service. You know, the wonderful counselor, he wants to give you those gifts today. He wants to give you authority. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to empower you to walk in the mandatory mandate that he has for you, which is a precise plan, a perfect plan, and a promising plan. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you. And Father, we thank you for your word that has ministered to our hearts. We thank you that you're indeed a wonderful counselor and you're an everlasting father. And Father, you're calling for your children to come home. You are longing for your children to come home. And today, Father, today, congregation, if there's anyone, and if there's anyone online who would say, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. I want to cement this decision. I do not want to miss out on the greatest gift the world has to offer. If there's anyone here who would like to accept the gift of the wonderful counselor, the gift of life, can I ask you to just slip up your hand? Just slip up your hand. If there's anyone here, we're not. Thank you. Is there anyone here else? Thank you. The Lord bless you. Is there anyone here? Thank you. The Lord. And thank you. Thank you. There's anyone else? Thank you. Lord, we receive your gift.